You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Proverbs 4. Our goal today is to finish Proverbs 4. I've been trying to do that for 3 weeks now. Proverbs is such a great book. It's just a practical book. It's about where the rubber meets the road. Amen? It has to do with living right. You know, it has to do with doing what God says, living it out in your life, in your family. And if anything, we find principles and abstract ideals in the Bible about good and evil and so on and so forth. Proverbs just comes down to it and says, here's what you need to do. You need to do this and don't do that. So it's full of admonitions and it's full of prohibitions and thou shalt and thou shalt not. Hallelujah. You know, someone said one time that there was so much in the Bible, there's so much of it they didn't understand. And I agree, there's a lot I don't understand. I mean, that's why I keep reading, keep studying. But I'm not so concerned about what I don't understand. There's enough in it I do understand to keep me busy. Amen. Yeah. So if I just, you know, don't even deal with what I don't know, if I just spent my time dealing with what I do know about the Bible, what I do understand, I think I got plenty to do. How about you? Proverbs 4 is about a father talking to his son and his children, children in general and then son in particular, and he's giving them instruction on how they should live, and he does it from a standpoint of leading. I love that he says, I've led you in the right path. He didn't just tell them something, he showed them. You know, there's a difference between managing and leading. Managers say, do this, go here, go there. Leaders say, let's go. Are you with me? A manager, which you got to have managers to manage, and I understand that. But a leader is the one with a vision. He's the one out front. He's the one pioneering. You know, he's not a leader like a pastor. A pastor should be a shepherd, not a sheepdog.
Yeah. Right.
Where I'm standing behind barking, but I'm up front leading. And there's certain moral authority that comes with having done the thing you're asking people to do. If you don't live the way you're asking people to live, and if you're not committed to it yourself, then it doesn't have the authority as someone who's actually gone through it.
That's right.
Or is actually living it and committing themselves to it. So let's don't just tell people what to do, let's live it.
That's right.
And say, let's go. Amen? So he talks about the benefit of wisdom, the benefit of understanding, of seeking wisdom from God, wisdom from Him, His words that He shared with His Son, listening to them, acting on them, instituting them into your life. And that's what the Bible is for, is to be instituted and worked into your life. You know, as far as a church, what we stand for is real simple. It doesn't matter what I say. What matters is what God says.
Yeah.
This is a church. This is not Michael Williams' club. Hello. Or even your club. It's not a club. It's a church. Amen?
Right. Amen.
It's about what the Lord says. It's about what's written. And so my job as a leader is to lead you into the Word, to empower people with the good news of Jesus Christ so they can change their world. And you can make a difference, and you can change your world, whatever your world is. Everybody's in their own world, and I understand that. We all have different circles of influence, different needs, different goals, different dreams. But one thing we all have in common, we need value, we need acceptance, we need love. Are you with me? We need purpose. Are you out there? We need understanding. And we all need that. Those are common needs. So whatever they are, God will help you become the best you can be. And that's the good news about the Bible, is God sees what you can be, not what you are necessarily or what you've done necessarily. If you repent, you can turn around your life and you can head in another direction. This is about heading in the right direction. This is what he's sharing. He's sharing paths to walk on. Right action. Right words. Loving instead of hating. Living holy instead of living, you know, wickedly. And he gives you the benefit of it. He doesn't just say, go do it, period, because I say so. There are repercussions. There are consequences. There are whatever a man sows actually also reap. Even when parents tell children to live right and do right and not hang around this person, that person, they're thinking of your best interest. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. You know, I remember sitting Charity down and talking to her one time. I remember sitting Charity down talking to her several times.
Praise God.
But I remember one time in particular, I was talking to her. And she had this little dog as a Shar Pei. You know how Shar Peis are all wrinkled up? Well, aptly we called her Lacey. You know. She had a little dog, and she loved Lacey. And Charity just wanted me to let her do something, because everybody else was doing it, okay? You know, and if you love me, you ever heard that one? If you love me, you let me. And I said, well, let's sit down here. Let's talk about this a minute. I said, first of all, just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Generally, that's the wrong thing. So that's not a good reason. Secondly, if that be a word, secondly, if I love you, let's define that for a moment. I said, I love you, and it's because I love you that I'm not letting you do this. Not I don't love you, or if I love you, I would. I said, you have this dog named Lacey. Yeah. I said, you love Lacey, don't you? She said, yes, I do. I said, Lacey's a lot different than the coyotes that run out in the pasture, because we have some we hear in the back sometimes yapping like little pups, you know, in packs. I said, think about a coyote. Nobody defleas coyotes. Nobody makes coyotes take a shower. Nobody keeps coyotes from running out in the yard, running out in the highway, you know, and so on and so forth. And nobody has any rules for coyotes because they don't love coyotes. But little Lacey here, you make Lacey take a shower. You put flea powder on this Lacey, and you make her wear collars, and you keep her from going out in the road, and all these restrictions. And Lacey probably doesn't understand, but it's because you love her that you have those rules.
Right.
So really, in life, a lot of times we I don't like rules. I don't like instruction. I don't want, you know, somebody telling me what to do. Well, listen, God does that because He loves us, and He wants us to live longer. He wants our marriage to last. Come on. He wants us to have healthy lives. He wants us to make it in the world and be a witness and be used by God. That's why He has rules, because He cares. Not because He doesn't care and doesn't want us to have fun. He really does want us to have fun, real fun, lasting fun. In fact, when we get to heaven, we're going to enter into the joy of the Lord. In His presence is fullness of joy. So thank God for rules. Are you with me? Hey, that's how we live long. Amen? And that's what He's saying here. This father writing to his son, writing to children, he's trying to help him. He's giving him instruction. The 10th verse, he says, hear my son and receive my sayings. In the 14th verse where we ended up, he says, Micah, could you bring that pulpit down this way, please, sir, or anybody? Hallelujah. And he doesn't say that in here, bring the pulpit down. I digress. Man, I'm used to have my hands free. Okay, good. All right, now I can preach. So he said, listen to this. First verse, hear my children the instruction of a father. 10th verse, hear my son and receive my sayings. 14th verse, do not enter the path of the wicked. Now he has now some prohibition. He told them some things to do that are going to bring good results. Thank God for the Bible. We come in here, we find out things to do to put us on the right path, to bring us the right result or the right end.
Amen.
Amen? And God does have an end in mind. He has a result in mind. He has a future and a hope for you. But that future and that hope and that end is on the end of a path that you walk. If you walk this path, you can reach that destination. If you don't walk that path, you have no guarantee, no promise. In fact, you almost have an assurance that you will not reach this destination. When God talks about all these wonderful promises and talks about what He wants for our life, it is attained by our actions. It's attained by our words, by what we say and by what we do. Hello. And so if we repent of something and we ask forgiveness, see, sometimes we just preach forgiveness, but we really don't preach repentance. God doesn't want you to keep committing and keep doing what you're doing wrong and then keep forgiving you when you repent. He wants you to repent of it, really repent, turn around, quit doing it, and go another direction. So God delivers us through instruction. He delivers us through commandments. He delivers us through getting us on the right path instead of hating, loving. Are you with me? Thank you for your excitement out here today. Hallelujah. Okay. Woohoo! Glory. I think I'll just anoint myself here. No, he says, do not enter the path of the wicked. You can see there's an urgency here, too, even if you look at this. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Don't start down that road. You may say, well, I don't want to be as bad as that person. But if you start out doing the little things, you will finally turn into that person. Hello. If you give yourself a little luxury of a little hate and a little bitterness and a little evil and a little sin, a little white lie, as we call it. Never have understood that, white lie, black lie. Lies lie. Are you with me? If you start there, then who knows where that's going to end up? You've got a foot on the wrong path. If you don't remove that foot, you're going to keep going down that path. And so a little lie turns into a bigger lie. And then before long, you're just a pathological liar. Lying all the time. Doesn't even bother you because you've lied so much. Hello? Amen. So stop that. Hallelujah. Good news, you can do it. God loves you and He's for you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And He's given us instructions. He's trying to turn us around. Let's turn around from where we're going. Let's repent. Really repent. Turn around. He that confesseth and forsakes his sin shall prosper. Everybody say forsake.
Forsake.
That's important to do that. You know, you can't talk your way out of a situation you behaved yourself into. Uh-huh. Come on now. Ooh, don't hang up now. Get it? You can't talk your way out of a situation you behave yourself into. You got to change the behavior. And so you're saying here, let's don't go down that wrong road, that path, because actions are paths. Decisions that we make, things that we do, are roads that we're walking on. Roads lead to destinations. You say, well, where do I want to be in 10 years? Well, I don't always know exactly where I want to be in 10 years, but I know where I don't want to be. Isn't that right? I mean, I know some places I don't want to wind up, so I don't want to get on a road that might take me there if I don't get off it. So let's get on a road that will take us in the right direction. It may be a long ways down the road, getting to where we really need to be, maybe in our marriage, maybe in our own character, maybe in our job, whatever the case may be. But you're going to have to get on that road to start with. First step. We've got to take the first step. We've got to eat that elephant one bite at a time. Amen? Put that mile of fence, one fence post at a time. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Does this sound similar to Psalms 1? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight's in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But think about it. He didn't just decide to go with God. He decided to forsake ungodly, wicked, sinful, scornful fellowship. Fellowship is vitally important, I'll tell you. You know, thank God for church. Thank God for good teaching. Thank God for good worship. But if you don't change your fellowship, you're not going to change your life. That's a biblical law. That is a biblical rule. That's a principle that you need to hang around. You need to be around people that are serving God if you're going to serve God. That's true in any area. I mean, if you have a certain profession, if you hang around people that are of that certain profession, maybe better than you are, you get better yourself. Isn't that right? And so if we're going to serve God, well, you're not going to serve God by hanging around people that don't serve God. Got two that's right, Addie. Okay. This sermon can be as short or long as you make it. So, if you hang around people that love God, it's easy for you to love God. In fact, you'll grow in your love for God. If you hang around people that think serving God is cool, you could be the coolest kid on the block. By hanging around people that serve God. But now if you just want to be cool, just to be cool. Some people think they're cool and they're just a fool. That's the way I used to be. Before I got saved, I thought I was so cool. I was cool. Man, what are you talking about? I was popular. I was cool. I was slick. I was lost and going to hell. Everybody I was so cool and popular with, going to hell too. Are you out there? Oh, man, I mean, I get in school, I could just take over a class. I mean, I could just, I was a life of the party. Rebellious. People would laugh. Brenda's going, She was there. She knows. People would laugh. I remember we had Distributive Education Clubs of America. I was a part of that because when I left home at 15, I went to work, and I kept going to school. I'd write my own notes. Wasn't feeling good today. Stayed home. Signed Michael. That didn't last long. They finally kicked me out of school. I was eventually kicked out of school, never finished high school. But I was real popular. In fact, every year we had Western Day. Everybody say Western Day. It was when the whole school would get together, congregation, I'm church talking. Whole school would come together, and we'd have a talent show. And the freshman, sophomore, and junior, and senior would give a skit, whatever. Well, I did the sophomore. I was representing the sophomore class, and also I was emceeing the whole thing. Because I was part of Distributive Education Clubs of America, DECA. Can't even pronounce it, but I was one. And I remember getting up. We had been to this big pastor party, and everybody had gotten busted. I mean, the liquor control board guy had tackled me and put me on the ground, put a gun in my face, asked me who I was. I said, Michael Williams, and anything else you want to know. And lost. Everybody in town got caught. All the kids got caught, so they never did anything. We had to talk to the DA. It was all over town. It was in a teacher's pastor. And a pastor, pasture, pasture. So I got up and wrote a poem about that whole event to the whole school. I called it Ode to Sinner. And it was, well, everybody was laughing and cackling. The teachers were red-faced, and the principal was mad, and I was so cool. I was so cool. I was a fool. Think about it. See, I was around ungodly people. I hung around ungodly friends, and therefore I was ungodly. I hung around rebellious people, and rebellion was cool, and so I was rebellious. You know, we talk about being the wrong crowd. I kind of was the wrong crowd at that time. But you know, I got saved. Turned my life around. I realized I was walking down the wrong path, the wrong road. Many times, you ever notice on sitcoms that what's funny, the track lines are always rebellious statements. It's when they insult the mama and they insult the daddy. And they're just rebellious. And everybody goes, laughs. Oh, that's so funny. Well, listen, it's not so funny as you grow older. It's not funny. It's not cool. It's just being a fool. Y'all didn't know. Y'all ever heard that story? I never told that story. I don't guess about the. I have lots of stories I hadn't told you. I have spared you, thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God I got saved. Amen. Hey, listen, as much as I stand up for the Lord, as much as I'm radical for the Lord now, I was that radical for the devil back then, is what it was. Can you imagine what someone that is just completely lost and undone and passionately radical for do evil and sinful if they get saved? See, God sees that in people. That's why we don't need to hang up on people and give up on people. Because God can turn anybody around. Turn me around. Change my life. Hallelujah. Gave me a new passion. Man, I'm crazy now for Jesus. I used to be a nut for the world. I'm a nut for Jesus now. Whose nut are you? Amen. So he's saying don't go down that path. I'd gone down that path and I was my own worst enemy. I had put my foot on that path and I kept going down it and I got further and further down that road. He says, avoid it. Do not travel on it. 15th verse. Turn away from it and pass on. See the urgency here. The passion that he is saying this with. Son, don't do this. Don't go there. Don't hang out with that crowd. That's why mama said that. That's why daddy said that all those years. I can look back now and see the wisdom in it. Back then, I thought they were being mean. They weren't. They were just trying to help me. Are you out there? Now, God is telling us the same thing. We need to hang around people that love the Lord. We need to hang around people that really care about this world that we live in, trying to help people and reach out to people with a purpose. I mean, we got a purpose in life, amen, to make a difference in life, to help suffering, sighing, dying humanity. We need to be people that pray. See, our friendship shouldn't be based on a common enemy. It should be based on a common good. Friendships based on common enemies do not last. They're based on hate and revenge and bitterness and so on and so forth. Our common good is what makes us last and our friendship lasts forever. Woo! I'm reminded of Alexander Pope. Y'all remember that quote? He says, vice is a monster of so frightful a mien as to be hated needs but to be seen. But seen too oft, and familiar with her face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace. See, if you hang around evil too much, if you go around that path, maybe you have good intentions, but you're still on the wrong path. If you hang around too much, you get too familiar with sin and sinful people. See, you need to watch what you watch on TV. You ought to have a line you won't cross on certain shows you would watch and don't watch. Hello, I'm not being mean. I'm just saying you get too familiar with something and you get anesthetized to it and you get numb to it. Hello? People we hang around with, things that we do. Listen, if you have a conscience in you that says that's wrong, back up. Don't do that. Don't go there. Start when it's small. It won't get big. Amen. I mean, because we pay no attention to small things, we fall for big things. We need to pay attention. That's what he's saying. Watch it. Don't get on that path. Oh, warning, flashing lights. As the old Lost in Space with Robbie the Robot said, danger, danger, Will Robinson, danger. Y'all remember that old show? I just lost half the church because they're going, what? Okay, some of us remember that, okay. I mean, there ought to be some alarms go off. Hallelujah. Don't enter that path. Don't go down that road. 16th verse. Why is that? For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. In other words, a good night and a good weekend. I can remember those days when we did something bad, man. I mean, that's what we bragged about all week. Something bad we did. Hello. Couldn't wait. Excited about it. Couldn't wait to get up and go tell everybody how bad we were. Really, I mean, that was, oh, can you believe he did that? And everybody get around, we all get around and laugh about it, you know. Thought that was just so cool. It was just so terrible, so wrong, so hurtful to everybody. But it says here, they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And then sleep is taken away unless they make somebody fall. We got to hurt somebody. We got to get. We got to destroy some property. We got to vandalize something. We got. I'm not even going to start telling stories. I'm thinking of stories right now. For they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. In other words, this is their food. This is sustains them. This is what they live for. This is their bread. Violence, and they're intoxicated by violence and by wickedness. Man, they get all excited. I mean, they start hollering and shouting and screaming when they get away with something. You know, it's like they've won a football game when they've done something evil and got away with it. You've done it. We've done it. We've all done it. Are you with me? And he's saying this is not the way to go. This is not the road to get on. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. Hopefully most of y'all hadn't robbed a bank lately. Or are you out there? But the path of the just, 18th verse, oh man, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into that perfect day. I love that. See, when you live for God and you do right, you open up light for other people. You're thinking of other people. You're going to help other people. You're going to bless other people. You're going to show people the way, the real way, the way to make it, not make it. It's a way of love. It's a way of acceptance and forgiveness. It's a way of a future and a hope. It's a way of encouragement, a way of rebuilding your life and taking the broken pieces of your life and putting them back together. When I live for God and I live holy and I live right, I shine light on my path and the path of others. I cause them to see that they can make it. Hallelujah. Even me, you know, the past I had, as I stand up for Jesus and live for Jesus every year that goes by, I show as a testimony and as a light to people that if you've been there and if you come out of that mess, you can make it too. If God loves me, He loves you. And when you stand up, see, it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. What matters is where you're going, where you're headed. It's not always what you left behind. It's the direction that you're going. And if you'll head the right direction, it's like a light shining on the world. You know, the world lies in darkness, waiting for a light to shine, waiting for somebody to shine the light, waiting for somebody to stay married. Come on. Are you with me? Waiting for somebody to resist evil and actually live holy. Waiting for somebody to pray and love and forgive. Waiting for somebody that doesn't hate people all the time. It's just hateful all the time. The world's just waiting for that. I mean, and we are those people. Hallelujah. God has raised us up to be those people, to reject this path of evil and go the path of good. Hallelujah. The path of the justice is a shining light that shines more or brighter and brighter, more and more unto that perfect day. I believe this with all my heart. If you'll commit to God, your life will get better. It's not to say you won't have tragedy, you won't have loss, but you as a person, your character will live on and on and on. I'll tell you, when at funerals, one thing they do not bury is that person's character. Their character lives on and on and on. Their good deeds, the things they've done to bless people and help people, will never be forgotten. The memory of the just is blessed, the Bible says. Are you out there? You just can't bury character. You can't do it. You can't put it in the ground. You'll always remember those good things. You'll always remember the things they did, the people they helped, the encouragement they were, the light they were. This is a path that shines more and more unto that perfect day, right on into glory. Hallelujah. Woo! It will outlive us. In the natural, we'll live forever, but even in the natural, our character will outlive us. 19th verse, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Don't have a clue. You know, I've used this example before. I think I read it in C.S. Lewis. But how virtue knows vice, but vice does not know virtue. We often hear people think that they're streetwise or worldly wise because they've lived in a world. I tell you, I know more about sin after I got saved than when I was sinning. And I make a better preacher because I've served God, not because I served the devil before I got saved. People often say, well, you got such a testimony. No, I don't. I'll tell you a better testimony. My son's got a better testimony than I do because he never did drugs. My son's got a whole lot better testimony. My sons, you know, my daughters, my children have better testimony than I do because they didn't do the things I did. See, that to me is a testimony. That shows me you can serve God all your life. Now, I can tell you can be forgiven whatever you've done. But, I mean, my children can show you that you can serve God all your life. Woo! Are you out there? I know more about sin after I got saved than when I was. When I was sinning, I didn't know anything about sin. I was in complete darkness. I didn't even know why I was falling and stumbling. I was shooting myself in the foot and reloading the gun. Man, why does my foot keep hurting? Bam, bam, bam. You know, just keep doing the things that were destroying my life. But when I got saved, all of a sudden I woke up. Yes. And the example is real simple. I think it's C.S. Lewis that said this, or I believe it's one of his books. It's real simple. A drunk doesn't know about drunkenness. A sober man knows more about drunkenness than someone who's drunk. Isn't that right? When do you know more about the power of alcohol? When you're drunk or when you're sober? I would say the sober person would be the one you'd want to hear a dissertation on that. What about sleep? Let's have some a seminar on sleep and have someone come up and give us a dissertation, you know, or give us the facts and about sleep, what it is, what it does, why we need it, and so on and so forth. Would you rather have your professor up here asleep telling you about sleep? The man awake knows more about sleep than the man sleeping. The man sober knows more about drunkenness than the man that's drunk. And the man walking holy and living for God knows more about sin than the man in sin. Isn't that right? The man who resists it, the man who recognizes the power of it, who recognizes the evil in it, who sees the path it takes you on in the end, its destination, the man that's not on that path, the man that's walking the right path knows more about sin than the man walking in sin. So if you want to get wise, let's don't get world wise, let's get godly wise. Let's be wise as serpents, as harmless as doves, in the sense of let's get in the Word and find out what God says. See, now I know why I was wrong. Now I know what I did wrong. Now I recognize patterns and things that sucked me right in to evil because now I'm saved. I know what the Word says. I recognize it. Now I can watch TVs and things that TV and things that are subtle and just little simple little things that pull you in. All of a sudden, I wake up. I go, whoa. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. I would never recognize that before, but I see where this is going. Because now I'm serving the Lord. I'm on a path of a shining light that shines more and more into that perfect day. I know more about sin and wickedness and evil now that I'm not doing it than when I did it. Hallelujah. Virtue knows vice, but vice does not know virtue, does not understand it at all. In fact, they stumble in darkness and don't know what's going on. 20th verse, a little transition. Does that help you? So he talks about don't enter that path, that wicked, evil path. And then he comes back in the 20th verse. He says, my son, give attention to my words. A lot of voices in the world, a lot of pulling, tugging, do this, do that, a lot of influences, a lot of groups you can join, circles you can become a part of. You know, we all want to be accepted. We all want to be in an inner circle. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be accepted. There's nothing wrong with being thirsty. But there is something wrong sometimes about the circles we want to get into and what we do drink when we're thirsty. Hello? You know, thirst is a indication there's something out there that quenches that thirst. But as sure as there's something right, there's something wrong. You can go out and drink mud out of a mud puddle. My dogs do. And they're fine. I think that's just supernatural. I don't think dogs get ulcers. I don't think you can give a dog an ulcer. But I couldn't drink out of the mud puddle. But just because I'm thirsty doesn't mean I need to go after any liquid at all. I need to go find something that's good for me, like water. That's W-A-D-E-R, water. And just because I want to be accepted, that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. See, kids are susceptible to this in school, and that's why we should impress upon them, right, friends, get them in church fellowships and, you know, church youth groups and so on and so forth. Because kids, they want to be accepted. I mean, come on, we are adults and we want to be accepted. Nothing wrong with that. That's a God-given thing. But here's the deal. You want to be accepted by the right crowd. That's why for some people, church is the bar. That's their church. I mean, that's where they get to air all their grievances, and the bartender just listens to them and talks to them, and they got friends there, and that's where they go sit back and unwind, and just the wrong place to go. Are you with me? But there's a certain fellowship and a camaraderie there, isn't there? An acceptance there. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, that speaks volumes to us as a church. Church ought to be a place where we accept people, not reject people. I'll be a place where we listen to people, we help people, and we encourage people to serve God. No matter where you've been or what you've done, God loves you and He's for you. He's not against you. He does not hate you. We may not like the sin you're committing. We want you to quit it and get out of it. We don't hate you. We love you. We know where you can be and what you can do because we've been there too, and God's forgiven us. So He says, my son, give attention to my words. Don't listen to everybody else's word. Incline your ear to my sayings, God's saying, God's words. Do not let them, God's words, depart from your eyes. Keep them, God's words, in the midst of your heart. For they, God's words, are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now here's the way to go. Here's the path to get on. Here's the right destination. Here's wisdom. Listen to what God has to say. Do you even know what God has to say? That's a good question. We ought to ask ourselves. Have we even consulted the Lord? Have we even counseled with Him? Have we even cried out to Him? Well, if you will, He'll give you wisdom. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He'll direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Then James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Then what is it? Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord, and so shall your thoughts be established. Amen. See, you just don't quit. You just stutter and you slump and you just keep going till you get it right. There's a lesson for you. You know, righteous man falls 7 times, but he rises again. I might say I'm a stutter 7 times, but I rise again. So what you need to do is commit your works to God, and your thoughts will be established. Your plans will be established. So God's saying, I'll give you wisdom. I'll tell you the path to walk in. I'll tell you how you're supposed to live. I'll tell you what you need to adjust in your life. And, oh, you need to receive this instruction because you're doing something wrong here. I want to help you. I want to correct you in a good way. I want to rebuke you but not condemn you. I want to convict you but not condemn you so you can straighten this thing back out. You see, you are the one pulling the trigger. You're the one shooting yourself in the foot. Now, I'm telling you, quit pointing that gun this way. Point it another way. Hello. Receive instruction. See, hear what I'm saying. Go get these friends, not those friends. Go do these things, not those things. Love, don't hate. Forgive, don't hold bitterness. Woo! If you will listen to these words, listen to this. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Boy, this is daily. This is continually. This is not once a week. This is like a farmer, okay? A farmer doesn't go out and plant one day and then months later goes out there and just harvest. I mean, he weeds, he waters. Isn't that right? Daily. In fact, anybody have a small garden? Anybody? You know, I'll tell you, I think that's wonderful. We're living in a day where that's disappearing. My grandfather was a farmer. My dad had a garden. I got a can opener. But, isn't that the truth? Times have changed. But you know, in a garden, you know what the best way to take care of a garden is to go out there a little bit every day. Anyone who has one knows what I'm talking about. Just a little bit every day. Just go out there every day and check on it. Don't be a weekend warrior or, you know, every 3 or 4 weeks go check on it. No, do a little something every day. And you know, you also know in a garden you have certain stages that you plant in, certain times that you plant, certain times, you know, that you do all this, till the ground and fertilize it and all these things, and then plant, and you have a certain harvest time and so on and so forth. You don't violate that. You work with it. You work with the rules. Well, life's that way. So we just think we can circumvent the rules just like college, you know, we're going to cram for the test. Well, you can't cram before harvest. I mean, harvest time comes tomorrow. You can't run out there and plant the night before and harvest. Those are the rules. And principles rule. Everybody say principles rule. So if you're a man or woman of principle, then you begin to understand the principles, and then you begin to operate in the principles, and you know that if you do a certain thing, it's going to end in a certain result. That's just the way it is. You can't just keep doing the wrong thing and expect different results. You can't plant watermelons and expect, you know, squash or tomatoes. It's not the way it works. You can't decide, well, bless God, I'm just not going to forgive that person, but I'm going to be okay. No, you're not going to be okay. If you make that decision, you plant that seed, you're going to reap that harvest. My son, pay attention to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them, and they are health to all their flesh. God's word is. And God's word is the only word that will make you into what God wants you to be. That will give you a guarantee and assurance of a good life and a good marriage, a good future. I mean, it's work. You've got to work at it. It's a discipline. It's diligence. But it's well worth the effort. Amen. Okay, real quickly here. Hallelujah. Put away from thee a deceitful forward mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Wow. 23rd verse, I skipped that one. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Guard your heart. Watch your heart. See, don't let anger and bitterness get in there. We talked a little bit about this in our class today, that you don't want to give place to the devil. Because why? Because out of it, out of your heart, are the issues of life. If you have anger and bitterness in there, that's what's going to come out. Yes. If you plant something, that's what's going to grow. Yes. If you put that in your heart, that's what's going to come out of your heart. So watch your heart, guard your heart. It's not about everybody doing something wrong and you not liking it. There's a lot of things people do I don't like. But I have to forgive and I have to go on. Because if I don't, it's going to get a hold of me. If I hold that bitterness, I can start out fine, not having done anything wrong, just the one offended, as it were, the one sinned against. But if I take in that sin and I don't forgive that person, it eats at me and it becomes a part of me. That old saying St. Augustine always says, if a bad man sins against you, forgive him, lest there be two bad men. Amen? So keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That the flow of life comes out of your heart. Guard it. Put away from you a deceitful or forward mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Listen, let's focus in on the direction we're going. Let's watch where we're headed. Let's think about, when I do this, where is it going to take me? When I say this, what are the consequences? When I act this way, what's the end of this? Do I really want to do that? Do I want to go down that road? Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. He's talking about actions. He's talking about what I do. Maybe you're mad at somebody. I don't know. Do you want to stay on that road? Oh, get over that. Come on, repent. Get over it. Maybe you're sinning in a certain area. I don't know what. This could be a thousand different sins. Do you want to keep going down that road? Listen, consider this. Where are you going with this? Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do you want to make this little compromise right here? This little, just a little compromise, no big deal, but do you want to start that? Do you want to start doing that now? Where's that going to take you? It's not worth it. Hey, take the hit now. I always, of that persuasion, I'll just take the hit right now. Go ahead, make fun of me, call me weird, I'll take the hit right now, rather than make that kind of compromise and down the road turn into something I don't want to be, and God doesn't want me to be. Well, that's just weird. You're just weird. That's all right. You call me weird. My kids are all serving God. Hello? We got a lot of abuse. I've got a lot of abuse. I took a lot of hits for the way we raise our kids. Oh, are you kidding me? I took a lot of hits. People said, I'm just being, you know, over-controlling and so on and so forth. But listen, they're all serving God now. Are you out there? Well, that was just too hard. Well, ask them about that. Yeah, my kids had a drug problem. They got drugged to church every Sunday. They got drugged to church every Wednesday. Wow. Are you? They got the most high. They got the most high. Yeah. Yeah, they had a drug problem. I drug them to all kinds of Christian events, and it wasn't an option. Let me tell you something. I didn't ask them if they wanted to go either.
That's right.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, I was hard on, man. Okay. Let's wrap. Oh, man, I got to get through. It's 5 after 12. This helping you? Okay. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. I love that. You can establish your life. You can establish firmly your life and your marriage. But you got to do some things, you know. You got to do these things. And there's certain things you don't do. There's things to not do. There's things to do. And it says, do not turn to the right or the left. In other words, make your decision. Come on, stay the course. Make your commitment. Make your vow. Let's serve. We're going to serve God. This, whatever. If you start today, this is the day. Start today. I'm going to serve God. This is the right path. I'm going to stay on it. And don't turn off of it. Stay committed. And he says this, remove your foot from evil. Wow. It's not worth it. You don't want to go there. Amen.